Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. I'm here with Adam Kunz.
Good morning.
Portfolio Manager Extraordinaire. I'm Greg Hahn, President of Winthrop Capital Management. And with us is our Executive Producer, Amy Anderson. Amy, thanks for helping this morning with all of the setup. All right, so we got a lot to cover this morning. So it's award season, the Golden Globes. Did anybody watch the Golden? No? All right, so we are Ted Lasso fans in this, our family, so we are happy to see the hoodie highlighted on that. And then, like every, I question my relevance in front of my kids, but I'm looking at half of the shows I don't even know. I've never heard of them, and they're winning awards. So that was my evening last night, but hopefully you guys had a good weekend. We had a lot to cover today, and a lot happened last week. So let's kick it off. First, just on the economic side. So we're coming through a pandemic. We are seeing an acceleration in economic growth, and that's evidenced in consumer spending. It's evidenced in household income data, which was released last week. It's evidenced in so consumption and manufacturing are increasing, and global trade is increasing. So we're seeing evidence that we are starting to get traction, not only in the domestic economy, but the global economy. Fed Chairman Powell spoke last week in front of the Senate Banking Committee and reaffirmed his stance on aggressive monetary policy. So that means that the fuel is going to be thrown on the fire. And he's indicated that the economic recovery remains uneven, far from complete. And so that means low interest rates and asset purchase programs. And he's forcing inflation. He wants to see inflation, I think, really accelerate past that 2% level. I think the markets are going to have trouble adjusting to that, evidenced by last week and the move that we've seen in rates. So we saw the 10-year move to, 1.5%, Adam?
Yeah, 152 before it came back.
So a big move in the 10-year, and that resulted in some volatility in the market. So the market did not handle the adjustment. The equity market did not handle the adjustment in rates. And we think that there's 75 to 100 basis points of interest rate movement in the 10-year this year alone, that we could see that much pressure in interest rates given the economic recovery in the second half that we're predicting. So we were down 3.5% in GDP last year. We're expecting a total of 6.5% growth this year. And so we'll see this acceleration is going to put pressure on the labor market, on commodities, commodity prices, and supply chains. It's just going to be really interesting to see the impact on the economy and the inflation pressure. And I'm going to say we haven't seen this kind of inflation pressure in 20 years. That's what will the second half of the year, the fourth quarter is going to, if our base case works out, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens to rates, how that translates to volatility in the market, particularly domestic equities. I think we got some challenges for investors second half of the year. So with that kind of as a tee up, let's talk about earnings.
Yeah. So earnings have been, fairly good. 80% of companies have reported. And so we're kind of winding down the season. But what we've got coming up this next week is Target, Costco, Kroger. So some of the consumer staple type names. One of the big releases last week were Home Depot and Lowe's. Both had same-store sales that were higher than expected. So Home Depot was, their sales rose 25% year over year.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So, obviously a lot of people staying at home still, doing more home improvement projects, both small and large. And what you've seen is that even the e-commerce piece has taken off in Home Depot and Lowe's, where that was kind of one of those type of businesses you didn't think it would really affect them. But now, you've got the store pickup, you can go and order online, just go to the store, pick it up. So that's been a big driver in increased sales.
Well, it helps that home prices are up 10% too.
Right. So, So
you get some room to invest.
Well, and obviously the prices of those inputs are going up as well, with lumber up 100% year over year. So if you're, just in general, the spending in those stores would have to go up as the cost of those inputs is going up. So all around good for those type of names. And then when we look at, you know, generally what equity markets have done over the last couple months, and to your point, when you've got this reflationary cycle, what you would expect to happen is energy and financials have done really well. And so energy over the last 3 months is up 30.5%.
Wow.
And financials are up 14.5%. So those are the two leaders here in the last 3 months. And then obviously, conversely, when you have rates rising, you would expect things like staples and utilities to do poorly. So utilities over the last 3 months are down almost 8%. So there's a big difference once again in what the market is doing, what it's saying. Technology is getting a lot of hype because it was down last week, but still is the outperformer. I mean, on a trailing 12 months is up almost 50% and it's still up 4.5% over the last 3 months. So while technology took a little bit of a beating last week, it is still kind of,
you know. So are we seeing that rotation that we talk about, you know, the COVID affected industries starting to accelerate and technology starting to kind of decline?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing in the way that I'm monitoring this is really what's happening in smaller caps. So the two ways I'm viewing this is looking directly at, you know, the Russell 2000, which is a small cap index, or the S&P equal weight ETF, which obviously overweights some of the smaller cap companies when the S&P 500. So the Russell 2000 over the last 3 months is up 20%. Mm-hmm. Versus the S&P is up 4%. And then in the same light, the equal weight S&P 500 is up 9%. Versus like what I just said, the general S&P is up 4%. So yeah, you're seeing a definitely a shift. And some people might call this a shift to value. That is not what I see this as. This is a shift to smaller cap, like you said, COVID affected industries. Because the value index is really, yes, they're doing better. But you know, they're really not outperforming that much. I mean, the value index is up 6% over the last 3 months. So it's really driven by the smaller cap stocks.
Mm-hmm. What else you got on the equity side? Do you got Salesforce in there?
I do not.
So Salesforce posted their record earnings last year. The revenue, at least, it was $25.6 billion. But that was included the Slack acquisition, which mm-hmm. Slack had not made any money. Right. So they're guiding higher this year, but shares were down, I think, over 6%. We're suspicious on the integration with Slack. And then obviously the front page news is Johnson & Johnson
right.
with the vaccine rollout that got approved Saturday. That's going to be a huge boost to the stock. And that the interesting thing about that vaccine is it's a one shot. It's not a two shot.
So. Yep.
But they're saying 20 million units by the end of March, 20 million doses that they'll have yep. out. So I think they've got 4 million ready to go. So that's exciting news for this rollout. So we describe this as we're at the intersection between the spread of the virus and the rollout of the vaccine. And the second half of the year, I think the winners, if our assumption is the vaccine is effective in controlling the spread of the virus. And with that, warm weather coincides with warm weather, which opens up more of the economy. Mm-hmm. Restaurants, and this includes entertainment, gaming, yep. conventions, travel, leisure, this whole thing starts to really accelerate. And that's going to put pressure on labor. So the high yield market, let's talk about credit. All bubbles start in the credit market, right? So where do the bubbles exist? High yields at record tight levels. Now,
yeah.
The yield on the index, I think, is down below 4%.
It is, yeah. 3.5.
Oh, is it 3? I thought it was 3.9. But it's bizarre. I mean, it's just unheard of that we've got these tight levels for credit that's, you know, risky credit.
Yeah.
So the price of risk, a market really is there to price risk. It doesn't judge the risk. It's a way for a buyer and seller to come together. Whatever that price exchange at is the level of the risk that one is willing to take to acquire and the other to sell. And so at 3.9% yield, it's just absurdly low. And it's just baffling for investors. What do you do, you know, when you're looking to manage risk. So I think this is going to be a real telling year for markets, because last year was all about putting stimulus into the market, getting the economy stabilized. The markets have pretty much discounted all of that. then it's where do you go from here?
Yeah. And about the index may be 3.9 when you look, you know, at double Bs or crossover where one rating is investment grade, the other is high yield. I mean, those can dip below 2%.
Right. And so it's funny. Saturday Night Live did a skit a couple weeks ago on things that don't work. And I'm just you walk downtown, right downtown Indianapolis. You go downtown any city, and you've got vacant storefronts, mm-hmm. vacant offices, things that are empty buildings. Yet the delinquency rate on commercial mortgages is sub 2%. During the financial crisis, it was over 12%. So how do you reconcile that? Things that don't work. It's just it's got to be subsidy money. But if you don't have businesses and they're paying the rent, at some point the money's going to run out. It's
yep.
it's going to happen. Or so I think the challenge is going to be how do you it's the soft landing. How do you accelerate the economy and get businesses in there paying their bills without affecting the investor dollars like the commercial mortgage loan market. What else do you got? Anything else on your plate, Adam?
Well, just to continue on fixed income, like you said, with what rates were doing. Yes, the 10-year was up, but Friday was just a complete unwind. Everything that the rate up move was undone. 10-year was down 15 basis points just on Friday.
So what happened?
So, well, to back up, one of the leading, obviously inflation was a big piece. But the 7-year auction on Wednesday was a big driver of rates going up. It was considered the worst auction we've had in about 10 years. Foreign investors came in at half the rate they typically do. So it was a very, very bad 7-year auction, and that helped push rates even higher. Really, it was kind of hard to know exactly what the driver was. And then talking to the street, there was no real specific other than people just undoing trade. So those people that were short treasuries, they basically were closing their positions, and that just kind of further drove rates down through the day. But it was kind of a wild day because we started off pretty slow, and then there was at one point where the long bond was down 20 basis points on Friday. So it was a big move. Now it looks like rates are up a little bit today. But like I said, the 10-year dropped back down to 140 on Friday.
So what does all of this do to volatility?
Well, that's what's weird is that when you look at credit markets and investment grade credit, spreads really didn't do anything. They were completely unchanged. So I would have expected the increased volatility in rates to increase the volatility of spreads, and it just didn't happen. Now, we did see equity markets obviously selling off, but I think what you see in credit markets is the fact that there's, like you stated, is such a chase for yield at any cost that's kind of what's supporting mm-hmm. investment grade credit right now.
So we talk about the canary in the coal mine is Europe, particularly Italy, but you know, it wasn't that long ago. It just seems like less than 4 or 5 years ago that Germany was talking about this, their concern about the spending, all the stimulus spending to support the quantitative easing for the ECB, and now that's because of the pandemic that's switched around. So there's more acceptance on using debt to stimulate economic growth. Europe's a different animal, though, so their debt burden continues to grow. France, I think, is accumulated now 2.7 trillion euro in debt, which now is 120% of GDP for France, and that's just France. And Italy is just a mess. So the ECB is the one that's subsidizing all these countries by purchasing all of these sovereign debt issuance. So I think the ECB is purchased over 1.2 trillion euro bonds this past year to help support the low interest rates, the quantitative easing program taking place in Europe. But the risk there is the same thing, is that inflation starts to accelerate. And the challenge they have is, can these economies really show sustained growth? And they'll grow, but is it going to be sustained growth? So you have inflation with at the end of it, little growth. They've got a bigger problem on
yep.
their hands. So the greater concern there is the stagnation and then ultimately the downgrade of some of these sovereign entities. You can't, in my mind, you can't accumulate that kind of debt and then not have it impact your credit rating. So this year is going to be the year of the credit rating as it relates to sovereign debt issuance, in my estimation. can't ignore it. So anyway, with that, there's a lot to look at right now in terms of risks. We're still early in the year. And it's been, you know, we're off to a pretty good start. So it's just eyes wide open right now, Adam. All right. Anything else on your end?
Nothing here.
All right, you guys. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you through the week. Thank you.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.